And when you see Monte Carlo in the title of this or in the references that you were working with, when you first come across it, you may think of a small village or city state, I imagine it is, somewhere in the Mediterranean. I think it's on the south of France and Italy in that area, and associate it with either a James Bond movie or a gambling casino type activities. Monte Carlo is a name of a procedure that does build on that random nature of the way the world works. And we use that to our advantage, along with some computer techniques, to allow us to simulate rather complex systems in some cases. Now, it is a computer simulation is what really makes this work, but it allows us to segment our use stresses, our different knowledge of how failure mechanisms work, in a variety of different things, and allows us to add variability, the best that we understand it, back into the models and situations that we have concerning reliability in particular. Now, Monte Carlo methodology can be used in many other fields. It can be used for setting tolerances, for example, in a mechanical engineering situation. It can be used to evaluate different variables when making a business decision. So it has a widespread applicability, and there are tools available for us to put this into our systems. The concept's pretty easy, and that's what we're going to cover here in this presentation. The basic idea is that I would choose a function that starts off the system that says, I'm going to write a function that says, basically, here's the probability of failure. If I have, say, for an inkjet printer, let's say I have somebody that prints heavily in full color every day, and they use the mechanisms a lot, they go through a lot of paper and ink and so on. Now, the types of failure mechanisms they would see would be very different from somebody that does black and white maybe once a month. So the X1 variable might be how often and what colors are being printed. X2 might be the temperature of where the printer is located. And X3 and 4 and so on may be the other variables that contribute to the probability of failing for one or possibly more failure mechanisms. But the idea is that each one of these values within this list or vector of different contributors to the function can have different distributions. It can be normal or skewed or square or triangular or whatever is appropriate to describe the variability that which then describes that variable. So once I have this function and I have the variability associated with each of the elements, I can then run the Monte Carlo simulation. And what it essentially does, using this inkjet printer as an example, is it builds virtual inkjet printers. So it might be one that's for a heavy user that has modest but a little bit higher than the most people's humidity and some other characteristic. And it takes a random sample from each of the different parameters going into the function, and then runs the function and comes out with a value. We'll set it there. And then it goes back to the source variability functions and says, all right, well, I'm going to pick one from here, one from here, and one from here. Run the function, and that shows up here, and so on. So I may be drawing randomly from these samples, maybe to build, say, 5,000 or 10,000 imaginary printers. And then I evaluate what's their probability of failing at some point I'm interested in or some sequence of points I'm interested in. And each one then adds to this histogram. And it builds basically a probability density function based on all the different variation. But because I have these distributions, I'm going to, on average, pick the average values for an average printer and give me an average result. But what comes out of that is a very accurate picture of what's the spread and shape of the information, or of the time to failure information. So that's the concept for a Monte Carlo simulation. The real trick is building out your function, whether for a single failure mechanism or for a collection of failure mechanisms, and then gather the data and get the understanding of how it varies. And then the mechanism is to random sample, run it through the function, and create this final result. And then from that, we can then do what ifs. What if I can compare the heavy users to the light users, for example? So for a particular failure mechanism, for light users, my histogram may look completely different. The wear out function may take much longer to occur than for the heavy users, for example. And you can use it for all kinds of things, very much the same kinds of things that we would use the reliability model for. It's also a pretty decent input into a reliability model. But let's take a look at a stress strength example. So let's say I have a set of stresses, and I go out and I make a bunch of measurements, and I come up with something that's kind of normal, but not quite. And I just have the tally of these real numbers, and it gives me a histogram, a probability density function, or a reasonable estimate for it. So let me change the color, and then I go out and I measure my parts, and I end up with, again, it might be normal, it might not, but it's a histogram or a probability density function for the strength of the samples I have. And I don't have enough data to say it's normal or not normal, or I don't really know what the underlying distribution is, but I can then take a random sample from the strength side and a random sample from the stress side and compare them. So if the failure mechanism is such that it fails, if it's weak enough and it gets exerted with enough pressure or enough stress, then it's one of these gray boxes and creates a failure. So it's the probability of a weak unit meeting a high stress in this particular example. And for the normal distribution, there's straightforward, a pretty simple calculation that is the difference in the means divided by the difference in the addition of the standard deviations, or the combination of the standard deviations. And it gives us a probability or a Z value that we can then calculate a Z or a probability about. In this case, I don't go into statistics or care about the distributions. I'm taking a random sample. So the first iteration might be that value compared to that, and that doesn't fail. And then I take that one compared to this one, and it doesn't fail, and so on. But then I can count how many units fail and what combination they were, and get a pretty decent idea of how often something will fail in this stress strength example. So here's some data, and I have these different replicates. And so I have the random value of the stress and the random value of the strength, and it's a failure or not. But then I continue this, usually for thousands of cycles, and tally up the results. So it gives us the data. Monte Carlo gives us this concluding formula or probability density function, or if nothing else, just a count of passes or fails. And it gives us the information that we were looking for as to how the stress will apply to the product that we're creating, or this part or system or materials or whatever. But once we have that data, then you got to use it. You got to help your rest of your team understand it and put it to use in making reasonable decisions. Now, next, we'll take a look at dynamic reliability.